lift this up with me. Steve, you got me? Okay, you got me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword. It is fire shut up in my bones. I must speak it. It is food for my soul. I'm ready to receive it. Now, before you sit down, turn around and give someone a crone, a high five. Don't touch anybody now. No touching. Okay, as you sit down in your seats this morning, turn in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, as we continue a sermon series with Noah. Okay? Let me ask you a question. How many fathers are here today? Kind of hold your hands up. How many fathers? Okay? Now let me ask you, how many grandfathers are here? Now let me ask you one question. When you either went to the hospital or you were with your wife, you're with your granddaughter, whatever it happened to be, did the doctors and the nurses, did they give you an instruction manual for that kid you were going to take home? Ray said yes, they did give him an instruction manual. Uh-huh. 47 years ago today, okay, when he came from... Uh-huh.
They gave us instructions.
There you go. That was great. That's probably you're the first and the only one, I guess. So the only thing I remember is, picking up Debbie and said, here's your kid, and put him in the car and waved at us as we left. And I can never remember the fear thinking, oh, my goodness, I am that person that I used to look up to. And I pray that hopefully that every person here has had a father that they respect and love, and they, again, the father respected and loved you also. But, you know, as I try to emphasize, many times kids or grandkids or even family, we don't come with an instruction manual. And anything that I can share with you is this, that we're not living in a world that's very positive right now. We're living in a world that... You read about mass shootings, you read about issues with COVID, it's an evil, fallen world. Now, we know that because of Adam and Eve back in Genesis chapter 3, when they fell in the garden, they introduced sin into the picture. Sin didn't exist. It was never God's plan. Sin entered the picture through our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now, when we get to Noah now today, as you remember from the opening sermon last week, Noah's day, the Bible said, was extremely evil. And you remember I said if you go through the latter part of chapter 4 of Genesis, you look at the genealogy of Cain, and then you get into Genesis chapter 5 and you see the genealogy Adam all the way up to Noah. But in that genealogy, we also see the opening of chapter 6, where it talks about the world of Noah's day had got extremely evil. They were believed there's probably at this time around 1 to 2 million people or 2 billion people that occupied the planet. When we get to Noah, his grandfather Methuselah is still alive and his dad was still alive up until the day that Noah went in the ark. They were still alive. So the Bible says there was only 8 righteous people left when the flood came. Now, many people, when they look at the flood story, they say, well, it's not really history, it's a fable, it's fairy tales, and many times we're guilty, even in Sunday school classes, that we don't see a true representation in the ark. We see kind of a bathtub illustration of the ark and the animals barely fitting in there and kind of Noah looking like he's some happy Santa Claus type person, rather than the true historical Noah. Now, we know that the earth is... The planet is probably around 7,000 to 8,000, no more than 10,000 years old. And we believe that around this time, it's been about 1650, meaning about 1,650 years since the creation of this planet. When God spoke, you remember what I said many times, and the issue with many people is this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says there, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning. As soon as you hear those words, many people say, well, that's not true. When he said those words, time began. When he said those words, time existed for us. When he said those words, after the creation week, the season began. The seasons that we know of today, the 24-hour day period, began on that day. And we know that God created this planet in six 24-hour literal days. Those days, those 24-hour periods were for us. 6 days work, 1 day rest. So everything God did for his creation because he loved his creation. Even give us the opportunity of what we call free will. And that free will was demonstrated and lost, or no, not lost, it's still there. We still have free will today, but our first parents made that decision. So when we pick up the story now in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said there, the world is so evil, and 120 years from today, I'm going to flood the planet. Total flood the planet. Totally cover this planet in 120 years. And it said that God gave Noah instructions because Noah found favor with God, and Noah being the historical person we know, like we said, we can go back and look at the genealogy of Noah there in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. We know that Noah built that ark. Anywhere between 55 to 75 years of time he took to build that ark. And he built an ark that we know. Remember I said this, they believe a cubit in Noah's day was about 20.4 inches long. They call it a construction or a long cubit in Noah's day. And what they believe, the size of the ark was 510 feet long by 85 feet wide by 510 feet long by 85 feet wide by 51 feet tall. Now the argument is, what about the animals? You know, there's no way that the ark could hold all the animals. We got to go back to Noah's day, and in Noah's day we're talking about parent kinds. In other words, you don't have to have 20 different kinds of dogs to have a dog. You only need the parent kind of a dog. And they believe that probably based on creation research and so on, that's probably no more than 1,700 animals that was even on the ark. And yes, the dinosaurs were there also. We know that from Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, where God created the animals, and that day he created the dinosaurs. And you've heard me say many times, you know, you go watch Jurassic Park, and there's no way in the world a T-Rex was on that ark. Yes, he was. He was a vegetarian. Nobody ate meat until they come off the ark. They're all vegetarians. So when Noah created that ark, God gave him the instructions and created his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And he may have, some people said, well, how did he do it by himself? He may have hired some people. But we know from the Bible, from 2 Peter, that while Noah was building that ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. Meaning he was preaching. Now, can you imagine in Noah's day, well, let's even take today, someone starts building a boat this size, 510 feet long by 85 feet wide by 51 feet tall. He's working on this ark, and let me throw in another thing. They haven't seen rain yet. This ark is being built out in the middle of nowhere, and Noah's building this ark. You're gonna envision the people going by. Oh, crazy Noah. He's been working on that boat for a few times. I can't believe crazy Noah still going at it. Still building that ark. Still thinks it's going to, what do they call that stuff? Rain? 120 years, a loving God gave a planet time to make a decision about him. 120 years. God, through the preaching of Noah and the building of that ark, Noah said, God said there's a flood coming. God said there's a flood coming. Here is the salvation, the ark. Now, you remember what I said, that the size of that ark, you'd think you'd have multiple doors, but that ark only had one door. One door and one door only. That's going to play out later. But it only had one door in the size of that ark we see in God's Word. So what do I want to do today? You know, I looked at this and I kept thinking, well, do I stop doing the sermon series on creation and go to some kind of Father's Day sermon? I thought, well, no. Why? Because Noah's a perfect illustration of what we should be as fathers. Now, what I'm going to say is, I'm not picking on you dads. You guys are all doing a great job, because I look around at the young kids that's here today with their parents, I'm assuming, or the young children. You're here because someone led you to church or brought you to church. So, Dad, if I sound like I'm getting a little bit negative at time and I'm saying that you're not doing the right job, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we can improve it. We can always improve on things, right? The worst thing they say they teach us about history, the worst thing that we can do with history is not learn from it and recreate our mistakes. So the idea is, where can we go there's a place that we can find a loving God and 66 love letters that give us a full revelation that He wanted us to know, not fool about Himself. Where can we go to find out what the absolute truth is? Because you watch news, you watch all the networks, you watch all the educational institutions, all the stuff that they're trying to teach nowadays, none of it is absolute. None of it's not changeable. So many different opinions, and we got all kinds of names for it now, postmodernism and all this other stuff, or politically correct. And, you know, we try to interesting thing, we're doing our best to kind of remove all of this from our world. Amen. Where does it start? Well, we can start here. Noah's flood. What a joke. You believe that stuff? So lessons learned from Noah. How can we improve, dads? And let's just throw moms and anyone that deals with children. Because this all works for everyone. It doesn't necessarily just have to be fathers. It can be anyone responsible for the upbringing of a child or a teenager. And you say, well, I don't have any of those people in my life. Well, maybe they're your neighbor. Look what it says now in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The first lesson we can learn from Noah's life, he understood and he was faithful and understood how faithful God was to him. See the first lesson? God is faithful to those who obey Him. God is faithful to those who obey Him. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says this about Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his day. And here it is. And I'm using the NIV, New International Version. He walked faithfully with God. Did you see that? The verb implies that it's something that Noah did 24 hours a day. He walked faithfully with God. Every waking moment that he had, he walked faithfully with God. And I love that word, but he was blameless among the people of his time. Now think about this. The blameless implies this. If they went out and asked everybody about Noah, said, tell us what you think about Noah. Now obviously they would probably said the man's crazy. He's building an ark in the middle of nowhere. But you know one thing? He's faithful to this God he keeps talking about. He's faithful to the knowledge of this Yahweh, this one God, because he keeps talking about this God. So blameless kind of gives the idea, when you go to your neighbors or you go someplace or maybe even your family and you ask them about you, what is said about you? What would they say about you? If they were in a court of law and you were given the opportunity to give testimony about someone that's in that court, what would you say about that person? See, that's the idea. He's saying righteous and blameless. He walked faithfully with God. Why am I emphasizing this? Because the first lesson is God is faithful to those who obey Him. Now look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, where it says, now I'm going to go through here, so keep up with me today. I'm going from Genesis 6 all the way through 9, a little bit at a time, okay? But I'll do my best to try to let you know where I'm at. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Nowhere do I read in this narrative, and it is narrative in the Old Testament, nowhere do I read that Noah said, you know, God, that's kind of an impossible task. I've got three sons that are just worthless. I don't know if I can build this boat or not. You never hear anything that way. It's always Noah obeyed God. Noah did God completely. Noah walked with God. So, and then you read in chapter 7, verse 1, still in Genesis, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord then said to Noah, okay, now, when you finish up chapter 6, the boat has been built. The ship for the Navy types, shoot me if I call it a boat, the ship has been built. It's ready to go. God, Noah didn't have to go out and get the animals two by two. The animals came to him. And someone says, well, what about all the continents? How are they going to get over the water? Remember what I told you? Back in Genesis chapter 3, they believed the planet was one continent at this time. Only one continent. Okay? And part of the creation week at this moment in time. So it wasn't impossible for a giraffe or anything like that to get from Africa to get where it needed to go. And think about this. You know, birds migrate. Someone said, well, how do they know they go? Well, God told them to go. And they went to Noah two by two. The Bible says male and female two by two. And someone says, well, what about, well, if you're going to take animals, you're going to probably take young ones, like a young elephant. You wouldn't take one, an old elephant that you know going to die soon you get them off the boat. You're going to take the young elephants. And the young giraffes and the young dinosaurs. Matter of fact, you heard me say that many of the dinosaurs are no bigger than a lamb. So the boat's ready to go. When we open chapter 7, now the last minute details before the flood. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found favor, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Now you know that, as I've told you many times before, the Bible's written in three different languages. The original translations of the Bible, the inspired word, the Old Testament, majority of it is written in Hebrew, with parts of Daniel written in Aramaic. Well, in the Hebrew language, that word go means to enter in or come in. Enter in or come in. You see, God invited Noah and his family in the ark. Now, I want you to think about this. God invited Noah into the ark. A beautiful picture of free will and God's providence right there together. God didn't say, get in that boat. He gave an invitation. He gave an invitation as implied. Just like he gives to you today, you and I today, God doesn't force you to accept him. Free will plays out. How can I explain it with a sovereign providence God? All I know is God's word says it in both, all through there, election and free will, it's there. So God says, go, Noah, your whole family, meaning your wife, your three sons' wives, go into the ark. Now I want you to see this. Go down to Genesis 7, 4 now with me. Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. What's the opening words there? 7 days from now. God just gave them additional 7 days to make a decision about him. 127 years the population of the planet had an opportunity to make a decision about God. 127 years they gave the world an opportunity for them to see and make a decision about God. Interesting thing, though, too, think about it. Noah's building this boat. They got an idea 120 years. Anybody that knows me, and my wife knows me real well, I love schedules. I love structure. As a matter of fact, I drive her crazy with it. You know, I'll get up in the morning, we're going to do this, 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 and this. Matter of fact, I don't do it, she gets upset. What are we going to do today? Think about Noah. You know, Noah might be getting to the point by this time, his sons and everybody's like, you know, Dad, we've been working on this thing for about 60, 70 years now. When's this ark going to, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden God says, go into the ark and 7 days from today, it's going to happen. 7 days from today, I'm going to flood this planet. Door's still open. That one door to the ark, still open. Last minute details being put together, food, so on and so forth, put on the ark, which I believe many of the animals probably just went into hibernation. Seven days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe the world. That word there in the Greek means totally, get rid of, wipe. It doesn't exist anymore. I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. Verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Did you see that? And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 7. Noah was 600 years old. Date stamp in the flood, by the way. Giving you historical reference. Someone says, you know, when they want to pick it apart, how in the world these people, they couldn't have lived that long. Well, I believe they did. The planet was totally different then. The mutations hadn't entered into the whole population where you got cancer and all this other stuff. I believe that they lived long. Methuselah, they know, was the oldest, which was Noah's grandfather, up until this point was alive. And so was Debbie and I was talking the other day. Probably so was a lot of Noah's cousins and friends and relatives, all of them. But the day that Noah went to the ark, God said, there's only one person, and it's you and your family that I even find righteous. Remember what I said? Close to 2 billion people, they estimate the population was at this time. 1,650 years after the creation of the world. Verse 7. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives enter the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And remember, God is faithful to those who obey him. Have we seen that with Noah? All the way through here, what has Noah done? What have we heard? Noah did all that God asked. Noah did what God asked him to do. Someone said, well, Pastor, do you hear God? Does God speak to you? No. Not in an audible voice. If he did, he'd probably give me a heart attack. Matter of fact, if I told you he spoke to me in an audible voice, you'd probably try to say, well, he needs to be in a padded room. How does God speak to us today? How does God speak to us today as Christians, brothers and sisters? Right here. Through his word. By prayer, by Bible study, by church attendance and small groups, by witnessing, by studying his word, meditating on it, praying, journaling, taking it in like food. Matter of fact, as a Christian, you should want it. Just like Paul says, just like a baby craves milk. That's how you hear from God. Kind of a gentle nudging of the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Some people call it a conscience, but I know it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling power in my life, and everyone who is a Christian, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know when you're getting ready to do something you know is wrong, and you kind of feel, man, I know that's not, I shouldn't be doing that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God speaking to you. Not audibly, yeah, but nonetheless speaking to you just the same. God is faithful to those who obey him. Verse 16 now, chapter 7, go down there. I want you to see this. Chapter 7, verse 16. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing. God had commanded Noah. This is what I want you to see. 7 days now is over. 127 years has passed. The only people that even accepted God in Noah's day was Noah, his three sons, their three wives, and his wife. When God closed that door, Methuselah was gone. Noah's grandpa, Lamech, Noah's dad, were all gone. They all died, the scripture says. And then it says these words, "Then the Lord shut him in." God closed that door, but not until he gave the world an invitation. 127 years, the population of Noah's day could make a decision about God. Just like you today. Just like you right now. It's been over 4,000 years since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. 4,000 years longer, if you think about it. Remember what I said? It was 1,650 years from the creation until the flood. Think about how long God has given us now. Think about that. Have we become more of a Christian nation or less of a Christian nation? Less. Every day. We got more seminaries. We got more Bibles. We got more Bible studies. We got more online preachers. But I think we're less of a Christian nation than we were even 5 years ago. Matter of fact, we're slow. What's her name, Debbie, the comedian, the lady comedian named? What is it? Shonda Pierce said she was raised in a home. Her parents were Pentecostal, and her mom used to say, used to have that big bun haircut, you know, up way, had her hair real. Her mom used to say, when she'd get mad at Shonda, she'd say, "This world is going to hell in a handbasket." And Shonda finally asked her mom one day, said, "How big is that handbasket, Mom? Because there must be a lot of people in it." Well, the idea is, think about this. God was so patient with Noah's generation. Think of how patient he's been with us. His patience is running thin. We just get eviler, worse every year. We invent ways how to kill each other. Get rid of one, we'll come up with another one. So obey, or God is faithful to those who obey him. Noah's first lesson we need to pick up. Lesson number two, God doesn't always protect us from trouble. Hear this, God doesn't always protect us from trouble, but he cares for us in spite of the trouble. Did you hear that? God doesn't always protect us from trouble, but he cares for us in spite of trouble. Now look with me now in Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. "For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth." That was verse 17. Now verse 23. Verse 23 of chapter 7. Genesis 7, 23. "Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that moved along the ground and the birds were wiped out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him," I want you to hear this, "and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Now, the scripture says what happened is the earth, we had earthquakes, volcanoes, the water just came up from the crust of the planet. Water kept coming from the sky for 40 days. Think about it. 40 days was the worst rainstorm that you can witness. Has anybody ever drove in a real bad rainstorm? I mean, so bad you can't even see the car in front of you. Or it's so bad you've seen the rain actually turn sideways with the wind. This is the worst rainstorm in geological event that's ever happened to this planet. The earthquakes, the volcanoes, the water, everything is all springing open at one time. Just think of Noah inside that boat, and it's probably dark, and it's probably hazy outside, and smoky from the volcanic ash, and so on and so forth, as Noah's inside that boat, fully protected by God, and hearing the people scream on outside of the boat that's drowning. Because they didn't choose to make a decision about a loving God. They made a choice. They definitely made a choice. "40 days and 40 nights of rain and volcanoes and earthquakes, we will never ever witness again on this planet like that, anyway, like that event. And then it says, after those 40 days, then the waters and stuff continue for at least the total of 150 now. So many people remember the 40 days and 40 nights. We all remember 40 days and 40 nights, but we forget that there's that additional time for a total of 150 years. 150 years, Noah and his family's been in that boat with those animals. Not 150 years, 150 days. I'm glad somebody's listening up front. I heard him. 150 days. Man, that would have been a long time for a lot of rain. 150 days. 40 days, 40 nights, and a total of 150. Let's go on. Boy, I got ahead of myself there in the notes. Okay, one more. Then God at this point, remember, God doesn't always protect us from trouble, but he cares for us in spite of the trouble. God remembered Noah and the animals about this time, because now we pick it up, go to Genesis 8 now. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 opens with, but, now it doesn't, you know, but God remembered Noah. Listen to this. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Verse 2. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. Verse 3 of chapter 8. The waters receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, get that right, Pastor. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. Verse 4. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the, now once you see this, the mountains of Ararat, not a certain mountain, but the mountain ranges, which they believe is over in Turkey in that part of the world, okay? Ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Verse 5 of chapter 8. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. Now, I want you to know, by this time, he's sending out birds and dove. He sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove. The dove came back a couple, three times, till eventually came back with an olive leaf in his beak, okay? But listen to what the psalmist writes, and they believe the psalmist wrote a description of this event. Psalms 104, verse 6. Now, you can, if you got your Bible, you know, if you got a little hard copy of the Bible, the best way to do Psalms is just hold your Bible like that closed, and about in the middle of your Bible is where Psalms is, okay? So you don't have to worry about putting your finger in Genesis, because it's not going to be hard to find Genesis again, because it's in the very beginning. But Psalm 104, verse 6. Psalm 104, verse 6, okay? Psalm 104, verse 6. If you caught up with me, say, praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 104, verse 6. This, they believe, firmly believe, is a description about what took place just after the floods receded and so on. Look what it says. You covered it with a deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Now remember, this was a different planet in Noah's day before the flood. The mountains, the Himalayas and all that probably didn't even exist then. Okay? You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Verse 7 of Psalm 104. At your rebuke, meaning God, they fled the waters. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. Now, I want you to look at verse 8 of 104. Psalm 104, 8. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. Verse 9. You know, this is the reason why they find aquatic life in the fossil records on top of a mountain. You know, they found fossil records of sea animals on top of a mountain. Now tell me how they got up there if there wasn't a worldwide flood. The mountains rose, the valleys sank to the place that you appointed for them. Verse 9. You set a boundary that they must not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. Now pick me up in verse, go back to Genesis now, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. 370 days later, from the first announcement, when they went in that boat, 370 days later, Noah and his family and the animals are coming off that ark to repopulate the planet. 370 days later, it is time to leave the ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, verse 16. Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. In verse 17, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in numbers on it. So verse 18, so Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Verse 19, all the animals and all the creatures that moved along the ground and all the birds and everything that moved on the moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. So first lesson, God is faithful to those who are obedient. Second lesson, God does not protect us from trouble, but he cares for us in spite of trouble. And then lesson number three, obedience is long-term commitment. Obedience to God is a long-term commitment. Obedience to God is a long-term commitment. Look what Noah did now, Genesis chapter 8, verse 23. Then Noah built an ark. In other words, he took his family to church as soon as they came off the boat. Let's go visit Pastor Steve. No. Genesis 8:20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds. He sacrificed a burnt offering. It talks about those in Genesis 7. Burnt offering on it in 21 now, Genesis 8:21. The Lord smelled the pleasant aroma and said in his heart, listen to this, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all the living creatures as I've done. Now, he made a covenant. God made a covenant with Noah. And you know what he used to assure us that it would never flood this planet again? The covenant that he gave to Noah? A rainbow. A rainbow. Every time you see a rainbow after a hard rain or rain, that's God's promise to us. He'll never destroy this planet that way again. Now, 2 Peter says, yeah, he's going to destroy it next time by fire. Verse 22 of Genesis chapter 8, and I'll wrap this up. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God said from that day on, you know the saddest tragedy about all this is? Noah still has a problem. He still has sin. He still has that sin nature. Because even as we look, and everybody say, well, I can't be as perfect as Noah and, you know, and do all the lessons you tried to. Guess what? Even as perfect as Noah, he had a problem. It's called sin. But you got to come back next week to see what happened. Genesis chapter 9, as we start wrapping this up, this little journey with Noah. And as we do, remember that door? Remember that one door in the ark that I said was there, the only door? In the book of John, the 10th chapter, Jesus gives an illustration about him being a shepherd. In that illustration, he said that he took care of his sheep, and the sheep know my name. And the idea is it's a sheep pen. And in a sheep pen, the shepherd of his flock would stand by the opening or the doorway to that sheep pen. And as the sheep came in, the shepherd would examine each one of those sheep. That's what those rod and the staff that talks about in Psalm 23. That's just, you know, the rod and the staff. He would take and he would examine the sheep as they come in. Anyone that was wounded, the shepherd would take care of that sheep, would fix it up, bandage it, whatever was necessary. The shepherd watched over it. And the idea was, even when all of those sheep was in a pen, if a different shepherd would come, he would speak and the sheep would know his name. In other words, all those sheep, as dumb as they are, they could be thousands of sheep. If you own 10 of them, they would recognize your voice and come out of there, just those 10. That's what Jesus is saying. My sheep know my name. My sheep know my voice. My sheep come to me. He says, I am the door. You heard Larry say it. In John 14, 6, he said, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Folks, I'm here to tell you there's only one way to salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. Noah, in his day, book of Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 7, because of Noah's faith, he was found righteous. Had Jesus came yet? No, not for another thousands of years. But the idea is Noah put faith in a Redeemer. His redemption was going in that boat, being sealed by that pitch or tire, so that water couldn't get in. The judgment waters couldn't get into Noah and his family. God perfectly protecting that family from the judgment of the world around them. You have a decision to make today. You may have turned me off a long time ago. You said, Pastor, I don't even believe in this God, and I can't even believe that you're talking about creation as even a real story. You know, I'm an evolutionist. I believe in millions of years and millions and millions of years. I believe in Gutu. I believe in my ancestors who looks like apes. That's okay. But the Scripture says someday all knees will bow, all tongues will confess, Jesus is Lord. Someday, you'll become a creationist. A little late then, when you're standing at the judgment seat of God. Today, 127 years, God gave the people to make a decision about Him. He's given us thousands of years to make a decision about Him. Have you made a decision about Jesus today? Can you honestly say in your heart of hearts that you started a relationship with Jesus Christ? In other words, you know there's a place that you accepted Him by faith. You confessed your sin of unbelief. You asked Jesus into your life. And then from that moment on, your relationship began. Have you done that? If not, bow your heads with me today as we close. Heavenly Father, today, as we close out this service, Father, there's a decision that needs to be made by everyone here that if they've not already made it. That decision is you. What do they believe about you? Even if they don't believe this whole story about the ark and all this other stuff, Father, right now the most important thing that I can emphasize to them, Father, as you know, they need to confess you. They need to invite you by faith into their heart. Father, help them do that. As Miss Bumgarner plays softly, they need to confess Jesus as Lord, invite Him into their heart, and today they will be saved. Okay, stand with me. My prayer is that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to know what's next or where you do or what's next for you, get in touch with either myself or Pastor JR or Larry or even the person that brought you here today. Do not be confused about salvation. It's a simple thing by faith, as the Scriptures teach us. But that only is the beginning, folks. That's only the beginning. Then a relationship starts. Now remember, if you're staying with us for Sunday school, 11:15, all age groups and so on, the adults are meeting in the education as you go outside of our building here. The education building's over here to the right across the courtyard. And as you face that building, the far left-hand side, a door on the first floor, go through that door, and down into that hall is the adult class for the day. So 11:15 today. Remember today at 1:30, Pastor JR is going to be short-winded today. He's going to be done so we can get to Father's Day dinner going. But Father's Day dinner, hosted by his service, his people and so on, are hosting the service the Father's Day dinner at 1:30. So come back if you choose to do so. If not, I pray that the next time I see you here is the next appointed time that God has appointed us to be here. If not, those who believe in the rapture, I'll see you in the rapture. Okay? Amen? Larry, go ahead and dismiss us.